Now we'll move on to ayah number 83. Mustafa Khattab translates it. They ask you, O Prophet, about Zulqarnain. Say, I will relate to you something of his narrative. Surely we established him in the land and gave him the means to all the things. Means to all the things.
Yeah, see, now we're going to have to come right on the top of the surah where the whole, you know, context of this whole surah is the very question. This is the question through which this whole surah is, comes to life, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we covered in the first chapter of the series that these are the Jews which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yasalunaka. These are the people who are asking you about what Zulqarnain is and what was the story of Zulqarnain. Now, this is a very important story. And this is where we need to really, really understand how careful we have to be in terms of what the Jews were all about,
mm-hmm.
what was going on. And we should understand the whole motif of the whole Judaic prophecies and their current world view, and actually not just current world view, they haven't changed their world view. This is their classic rabbi they're still talking about.
Yeah.
Actually, yesterday, their top rabbi actually claimed to have been speaking with the Messiah, which is and specifically talking about Gog and Magog.
Wow,
this is something which we better
what did
understand.
He exactly say?
Well, he specifically, there's an article in Israel Today. Mm-hmm. It's a tabloid. Mm-hmm. It's in Israel Today, and where he's actually talking about how the time of Messiah is just about there. It is going to be in our generation, and so on and so forth. And I didn't really get to read all of it because I just skimmed through it. I'm going to actually, go through the context in this video about what Jews are all about. But they're all about the whole story of Zulqarnain, and I'll tell you why that matters. Because if you look at what the Jews were up to at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, actually way before the time, actually, they actually settled in Medina for a reason, and that was the city where they were actually waiting for the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And this was not a small matter for the local Arabs at that time, because Jews were the only monotheistic religion at that time. Mm-hmm. Arabs were pagans.
Yeah,
these guys had a motive of settling in Medina. Why didn't they choose Makkah?
Yeah,
or what was so special that Salman Farsi was actually chasing the? If you read the story of Salman Farsi, he also ends up in
Medina.
In Medina, even though he was sold off to a caravan.
Yeah.
But he was told by those priests that this is the right time for the Prophet. And so much so that they pinpointed the accuracy of what kind of city he's going to travel from and he's going to land into, and then what was going to be his name, literally the name. The priest actually told him the name, and Talha was asked by Usman radiallahu anhu that there's this sound I hear from the air that Muhammad is here.
Wow.
And Talha says, let's see what was this all about, because I actually heard it from the priest that the time of Muhammad is here. Do you know who Muhammad is? And Talha says, no, I don't know who Muhammad is, because they all knew Prophet ﷺ as Ahmad. So, this was something which is so amazing when you look at the fact that these Judaic and Christian books were somehow pinpointing all of that time. Now, in the current Bibles, we don't know what the time is. How did they run those numbers?
Yeah.
Not just the numbers, the geography. Why were the Jews, what were the Jews doing in Medina? And, what's that got to do with, since the Prophet ﷺ did not turn out to be their Messiah,
mm-hmm.
then why did they ask for the story of Zulqarnain? Because if the Prophet ﷺ didn't narrate the story, this is the story of Zulqarnain coming up right now.
Yeah.
No, then what's the whole big deal about not giving bayah and following the Prophet ﷺ? So the Quran says, they recognize you as the father recognizes his son. They just, they're too arrogant to actually accept that, the Messiah in their books.
Yeah.
Didn't come from their lineage yeah. and their tribes. So it's such an amazing thing to understand what Zulkarnain was all about, to from the lens of those rabbis as well, in which we are going to cover now, because somehow there's a confusion here in the Ummah. And the confusion is that when this says, this ayah says, Inna makkanna lahu fil ardi wa atayna min kulli shay'in sababa. This word is repeated in this ayah and the next ayah, fa atba'u sababa.
Yeah.
Somehow the two words have different meanings. If you read any translation of the world, you'll find out that this word is repeated with absolutely no change in connotations. So if you ask the local Arabs, they too are making that translation or what's the word, comprehension out of this.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, this is so clear that we have given him
means to everything.
Means to makkanna lahu fil ard. That means you know, this ard word is not this planet. This is a meaning which we can take as this planet, or we can take Arab, because if you look at, I was watching this Cassini mission the other day, when they actually went and went to the moons of Saturn and on the land of Saturn. That was the last known image, because it just blew up in the atmosphere of Saturn. The fact that when you look at the moon or these moons or all of those or those places. If I just show you a picture of all of those lands, no one in the world can actually tell the difference between our land and their land, or that land.
Wow.
Those are the same rock formations, those are the same sort of sand, clay. Obviously, the atmosphere is different. And the very fact that we have to call it land signifies that, this is a basic psychology of the Quran as well. I'm not just referring to Surah Talaq.
Yeah.
The very fact that they are the whole terrestrial entity in the universe is called Al-Ard.
Okay, so I think we should make this point very clear that whenever in the Quran the word Al-Ard is used, it means land.
Yeah, it means
which
land.
Which can be this earth or any other earth.
Yeah, the context is
probably in the context. Yeah.
Yeah.
But is there any specific word for this world in the Quran? What's that?
Ad-Dunya.
Ad-Dunya.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, ad-dunya refers exactly to where we are living. But al-ard can refer to anywhere.
Exactly.
Depending on the context.
Yeah. Well, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban. In Surah Al-Mulk, muzayyana as-sama' ad-dunya.
Wow.
This is the sky of this planet that we've adorned with lamps.
With lamps, yeah.
Yeah, this is such an amazing, Surah Mulk is such an amazing way of actually understanding that if it was Sama' al-Ard, Sama'ul Ard, then it would have locked and sealed the deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But since we know that the last heaven is going to be scrolled, that means...
Exactly.
Yeah, and this also signifies that the way we look at Saturn and Jupiter and all of those planets, it is not upon us to decide whether the horizontal linear way of looking at this sky, which in which there is Andromeda and all of the other galaxies and all the stars that we see, we assume that if we're going to go to Saturn, which of course they did, and they did take a picture of the Earth from Saturn, it does look like a star. So it is a natural assumption that we share the same heaven, the first heaven, with Saturn and Jupiter and whoever we see. Even though if you look at carefully at this ayah, muzayyana sama'a dunya, this, if we couple that with Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana, it clearly shows two different meanings.
Huh.
One is the fact that these heavens could be also vertically aligned as well. And we could be in a different heaven than the heaven of Saturn or any other planet. Because the word dunya specifically means, the life on this planet.
Yeah.
Or it could also mean, and the second meaning would be, that, you know, it is the same sky that we actually enjoy with whatever we can see, because the lamp itself, you know, signifies there's a lock. The ceiling is set, like, you know what, this is, because in Surah Anbiya, Ayah 104 verse, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we're going to scroll up the last heaven, the first heaven.
Yeah, yes.
That means the things that we see, that's the meaning that we take.
Yeah.
That's the thing that we see, because we connect it with Surah Mulk right there. And, you know, whatever the stars that we're going to see, they're going to be scrolled up, which makes sense, because it's in Hadith as well.
Yeah.
Because in the Quran, the stars are going to fall down.
Yeah.
And this is a lot of misconception that a lot of, you know, apologetic Muslims or you know, atheists say, that, you know, your Quran says that stars are going to fall on the ground, even the stars are real. Stars are going to fall on the ground is a problem if you do not take Al-Ard's meaning as all the terrestrial planes.
Yeah.
And if you start putting this word Al-Ard on this planet Earth, then yes, it is a problem. I don't know how the apologetics are answering it.
Yeah.
And the stars are going to fall down on the ground.
Yeah.
How do you actually comprehend this? How do you fit all the stars falling on the ground?
Yeah.
Stars are going to fall on the ground, because whenever the star is going to blow up, it is going to convert into a ground.
Yeah.
And this is what a black hole also is.
When a star collapses, it becomes a black hole.
Or blows up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
when it blows up, that's called a supernova.
Yeah.
So supernova
converts what into what?
Black hole.
Different planets as well.
Yeah, it gives away
debris.
Debris. Yeah.
That's rocks.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's all Ard.
Mm-hmm.
See, star is also Al-Ard.
Mm.
You have to understand that. It's Al-Ard in the making.
Because
there are only two things. Sama and Ard.
Yeah.
Anything which is not Sama is Ard. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there's a matter which we see, it's matter which is Al-Ard. And then there's Sama, which could be dark energy or dark matter or whatever. Because it's not just space.
Yeah.
We know that. Through the Hadith, we know that too. Yeah. So I'm not going to that level of complication right now, because it is up for debate all the time, but it is very clearly identifiable that the Al-Ard meaning is all the rocks that you can possibly see in this heavenly skies.
Okay.
And yes, there is a discussion that the stars are only in the first heaven.
Yeah.
But there is never a word which says the Ard is also in first heaven.
Yeah.
So there could be a totally different ways of whatever the life is going about in other heavens on the planets, because Jannah is also a plain. We know rivers and we know grass and we know the greenery and we know the Jahannam's structure as well.
Yeah.
That's also rocks.
Yeah.
And you know, fields and meadows and everything. So it's also Al-Ard.
Yeah.
So when we say that there's this concept that this planet is just Al-Ard, then we create a very big quagmire of confusion. We have to really understand, because it is going to matter a lot in Surah Kahf. And this is why when the Hadith in Tabari says the semen of Adam al-Islam fell on Al-Ard and it reacted.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ya'juj and Ma'juj came about.
Yeah.
So that is a totally different Ard. You know, you throw semen on this planet, only plant semen actually grows, which is, you know, which is soil is very fertile for.
Yeah.
So how come this soil actually creates plants life?
Yeah.
Yeah, that means there is a certain planet which creates human life.
Yeah, human life or others.
Other creatures. Because in Jannah we know that human beings will be growing like plants.
Yeah.
People. So that is the land. We know through Hadith that when the Jahannim are going to come, they're going to come through this. They're going to grow into plants, plants-like growth. That means Adam al-Islam's sons, Ya'juj, Ma'juj, grew like that, and we can clearly see that in the Hadith.
Yeah.
But somehow we just spin around, and, you know, we just don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Even though the Hadith is very clear about how people are going to grow like plants. That's exactly what Tabari Hadith is saying, that Adam's semen fell in there, And they, you know, the Ayurma just grew like plants.
Yeah.
Because when semen goes into earth, you know, if the earth had the capability, people are going to grow like plants.
Yeah.
So this is a simple way of actually looking at it. It's such a complicated thing that we've just created that Yajuj Majuj came from Hawa. They literally are saying that.
Hmm.
Or some woman gave birth to Yajuj Majuj.
Hmm. Hmm.
You know, this is a psychological construction of our own.
Yeah.
Even though the Hadith is saying there is no woman involved in this.
Yeah.
This is an earth of some sorts. And we also know through Surah.
If we know anything, we just know that from Adam and Hawa, alayhi salam, Habil and Kabil, and those guys were born.
Well, that's the first lineage, right?
Yeah.
The firstborn, actually, literally.
Yeah.
But that's something which happened on this planet, because that happened after he came here.
Yeah.
So to assume
an entirely different kind of creation came about from the same bloodline is. Anyway, it's difficult to understand.
Yeah, well, naturally, it's going to be difficult. But how do we put our heads around the concept that human beings are going to grow like plants in the garden, right outside the Garden of Jannah?
Yeah.
how do we actually, you know, settle this psychology?
Yeah.
Because it's Jannah. Then Adam was not created on this planet.
Yeah.
Why are we putting every concept of earth when it comes down to
earth? Do you remember there's this hadith which says that, maybe someone here might remember the hadith which says that human beings will be, when they will come out from their graves, they will actually be growing from the coccyx, the tailbone.
Yeah. Tailbone, yeah. The tailbone, yeah. 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 See, there's a lot of...
long hadith which states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower rain on this earth.
Yeah, yes.
It will rain for a certain amount of time, I don't know, 1 month, 2 months. After, or even 40 years, but I don't really remember. After that, the human will grow from their tailbone, just like plants grow from the seeds.
Yeah. Even in this hadith, the words have been used like this, like the way plants grow from the streets.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Yeah, so that's separate.
There are too many, there are really clear, bigger things that we've just been suppressing.
Yeah, we're just not looking at it by design.
Yeah.
By design.
Yeah.
And I can understand why the 1200-year-old, not 1400, but 1200-year-old scholars would do that because people might not be ready for this.
Yeah.
But now we are, because we have a lot more comprehension of the bigger concepts.
Yeah.
So coming back to this very concept, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Adam alayhi salam was created by clay or earth, there's a certain word for that. That word is ham.
Ham, yeah.
You know, this is not that's a totally different sort of word. Ham. Make sure you remember that, because it's coming up in this surah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And that's, it's in Surah Hijr. If you open Surah Hijr, you'll find out this very clear word, ham.
Mm-hmm.
That's a black clay. Even the current translation is black clay for that ham. That's a totally different kind of clay.
Mm.
And that clay has a totally different kind of property. This clay does not have that kind of property.
Mm.
So we were not created from this dust.
Mm.
We were created from ham.
Mm.
This is turab.
Yeah.
So you have to understand there's a totally different psychology we need
to
incorporate to understand a way bigger perspective of what this was about to unfold right now.
Yeah.
So this word, make sure you remember this word ham. The ha meem ham.
Yeah.
And Surah Hijr is clearly talking about this. Actually, in this very surah, the word is used, I think, two or maybe three times.
Yeah.
So it's about to come up. So the world, Ard has a psychology. We better understand that psychology. Jews have a history. We better understand that history. And Jews wanted a Messiah who can have that sort of power. We better understand. That's why they said Zulkarnain. Zulkarnain.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is something which is why we are talking about this. Since we covered that in the first chapter of this video series, what the Jews' history was, did we?
Yeah, we did.
So let's just use that. And we're going to talk a lot about the Jews now, because this is all of this motive is about the Dajjal. So
yeah, so there was actually a point that you had to make.
Yeah, like, I'm coming to
the
that.
Word is sababa used in ayah number 84.
84,
and
yeah.
Let's just, ayah number 85 also says sababa, the translation.
Yeah, I'm
even
coming
by
to that
the
now.
Same people have been done differently.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. وَآتَيْنَهُ مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا, that does not really mean anything in the translation. Because when you read it, what's the translation you read? I have a totally different translation.
Yeah, yeah, let me tell you what Mustafa Khattab, how he translates in both ayahs differently. So in first ayah, when he says, surely we established him in the land and gave him the means to all the things, which says, مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. And then the next ayah.
So this, the word that he's using is means here.
Yeah,
because kulli shay'in is for everything. Okay.
Yeah. And in ayah number 85, when it says, فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا, he, same person, Mustafa Khattab says, so he traveled a course.
So the word means turned into course.
All four translators that I have here, they have translated this sababa in ayah number 85 as a course or a road, certain road.
Yeah, but if you go onto the previous ayah, if you can tell us.
All four have said means.
Means.
Yeah.
And that really does not mean anything. Because what does that mean?
Yeah.
Means to, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So if I say anybody in English, you have means to everything. What does that mean? That you can say kun to that thing and it's going to convert anything? Because that's the psychology I get. When I say I have means to everything, that means I can shape anything into anything.
Yeah.
Or call anything to me. Yeah. Or go towards anything.
Yeah, you have unlimited power to
do anything.
Yeah,
so means to
resources,
anything.
Resources, everything.
And so that means it doesn't really mean any specific, it does not draw a picture in my mind.
Yeah.
So they put a very Barnum word here. Yeah. It's a very general, abstract Barnum statement. Even if they're right, let's just assume it is right, then how come the next ayah itself is contradicted by this very word?
Yeah.
Because to means is not atba'u.
Yeah.
You cannot use this phrase if the word does not mean a way, a track, or a passage, or a path.
Yeah.
Because fa'atba'u means you have to follow that track. You're on the journey, on the course, which is rightly translated in every translation. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, min kulli shay'in sababa, I personally believe that, and I believe because it makes a lot more sense in all of the context of Judaic, Zulkarnainic, in the historic, in the futuristic, Dajjalic, in every little context, this word makes the biggest difference.
Yeah.
It changes the ball game from blacks to super, super ivory whites. This is how big of a difference. You're not going to be able to understand anything we're going to say if you do not put focus on this word.
Yeah.
And it took us, what, 20 episodes or 15? I don't know what episode we're doing right now to come to this word. So make sure, I'm not going to just wing it and just casually just pass by it. Sababa is a certain word. And we know, and I'm going to tell you why I believe it. It's not just my opinion, because the Tabi'i, if you read Zaid bin Aslam's commentary, he's a Tabi'i, he's read this word directly from the Sahaba. He says that all the Sahaba used this word sababa as the pathways, which is in the next ayah, the pathways towards heavens.
Yeah. And the reference of this statement is in what book, Tabari?
I don't remember, but let me just, we'll paste it in the reference.
I have it written in my notes.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the book. I don't want to misquote it because it's so easy to pick it up. You can just look it up what Zaid bin Aslam, Rahmullah, says about what the Sahaba's direct psychology was about Sababa.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk a lot about this in the next journey of Zulkarnain. So, but the real focus has to be on the crisp meaning of Sababa. Now, why am I taking this meaning? Just because Zaid bin Aslam said that? Which should have been enough, but that could be a fabricated, daif commentary of Zaid bin Aslam. It's okay, we understand that. But the Quran itself used this very word in 9 different occasions. Other than Surah Kaf.
That's the most important.
Quran itself uses Surah Kaf, which we're going to paste in the details of this video. It's 9 different Surah Swad, Surah Hajj, Surah Ghafir, and many other. All of those nine occasions, the word sab, which is the root word of this, means ways to the heavens. Somehow, when we use this word in this surah in two different times, we use the one time as the rest of the nine times, but the one time which it matters the most, it matters the most.
In ayah number
84, we just somehow put it into means to everything or power over everything and so on and so forth. In Urdu, which we have a very big problem, especially for people in India, Pakistan, and wherever Urdu is spoken or understood, and there's so much literature. After Arabic, there's Urdu is the first language of Islamic literature after Arabic. So the problem in Urdu is, and I'm sure that's in Farsi, I didn't look it up, but you should look it up, that the word asbab in Urdu has a totally different psychology. It does not at all. No Urdu man can say asbab and his brain will be like putting a ladder going up to the heavens.
Yeah.
It's not possible. Yeah. And that's a problem that we're all suffering from. Because every Urdu translation you're going to read, you're going to find the word asbab there.
But can it be like there are a lot of Urdu words which actually come from Arabic words. But then one of the meanings does exist in Arabic dictionary for those words which we take in Urdu.
Yeah,
so could is be, it possible that one of the meanings for the word sabab, sab or sababa is means also?
You know, not sababa, asbab. Sababa does not have any other meaning.
Asbab is in Urdu.
Yeah. No, asbab is an Arabic word in which Quran you also uses the word asbab.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And when
so
it uses asbab
directly as it is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. When the Quran uses the word asbab in different ayahs, surahs, it also uses for to be ways to the planets, to the heavens. Bad. Yeah.
Okay. That's very interesting.
That's interesting. That's why I'm saying the Urdu man can never, ever, he does not have the power to construct a picture of ladder going towards heavens. You know the most famous ladder of Jacob in the Bible, in Genesis, when Yaqub alayhi salam dreamt that there's a ladder going towards the heavens and angels are coming down from that ladder. You know, that's the most famous thing about the Bible. When they talk about the ways to the heavens, they don't use the word asbab because that's English. I should look it up, the Hebrew version, and you'll find out that the similar kind of word is used in the for the dream of Jacob, Yaqub alayhi salam, that he dreamt that there's a ladder going to the heavens and he's going to climb up and angels are coming up and down on that ladder. You know, so since I was a child when I read that, so whenever I see Zulkarnain, I'm thinking of, you know, those ways going up to the heavens and, you know, so on and so forth. However, coming back to this, it is not an impossibility that we're discussing here. It is going to make way more sense to understand what Dajjal can and should be doing. And as a Muslim, we already know that there are ways to heavens. Surah Ma'arij says that.
Yeah.
We already know that. We know that that's a physical way. We discussed about this. So why do we have to be so stringent in not going that way. Even though the Quran says that, Sahaba say that, it's all right, we understand that. But why are we so stringent here that we're not going to take that meaning?
Yeah.
That's the case they have to prove.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We don't have to prove this case because the Quran, and we're backing up this very root word and this very word by the Quran and the Sahabas. If someone else is taking this word in a totally different meaning, then they better prove it as to why they're actually taking it. And they better corroborate that from the testimonies of the Sahaba. At the least, nobody else matters now.
Yeah.
You know, because this is in an argument which is, we have the Sahabis on our bench. They better put a few Sahabis on their bench to just try and talk about this. Otherwise, all of the translations of the Quran right now, currently, better make that change and bring it back to the original psychology of the Sahaba.
I would want to make a point here, like even if you read the Tafsir Ibn Kathir or other Tafsir of the ayat which talk about the astronomy or cosmology or planets and stars and things like these, you will always see that there are a lot of this kind of stuff about which we do not find any hadith, clear hadith. So the Mufassirun, they have used the knowledge of their times to trying to explain those realities. And there are too many of those ayat in the Quran which are left open for the interpretation for the people to come. So I'll reiterate Sahil's point that this is also a question to the scholars also, that what stops us from taking a different meaning to the things which have been left open for interpretation, like which don't even have anything to do with our basic aqidah or the ibadat. Yep. Inshallah. Okay, so I'll repeat those two ayat to move on to the next one. They ask you, O Prophet, about Zulkarnain, say, I will relate to you something of his narrative. Surely we established him in the land and gave him the means to all the things. So we can say, like, if we put in the translation, the sababa, like from the next ayah, which says, so he followed up on a certain road. So we can put it in ayah number 84 like this. Surely we established him in the land and gave him the pathways
to everything.
To everything. Then, so he followed up another means. Ayah number 86 says, until he reached the setting point of the sun, which appeared to him to be setting in a spring of murky water, where he found some people, we said, O Zulkarnain, either punish them or treat them kindly. Would you like to?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes. Now, remember Surah Hijr, we talk about the clay which was used to make Adam alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
What was the word for it? Ham.
Ham, yeah.
Okay. Now, I want to read this in Arabic so that you can understand where I'm coming from. Hatta iza balaga maghrib ash-shamsi wajadaha taqrabu fi aynin hamiyya.
Hamiyya, yeah.
Hamiyya. Hamiyya is the same word, ham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when we know that the word ham is used for Adam alayhi salam.
Yeah.
And this is the same word hamiyya.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to come to ayn, the ayn in hamiyya.
Yeah, yeah.
Ayn also
it's
means.
It's not just ham, it's ayn.
Yeah, yeah. Ayn in hamiyya. Ayn also means spring.
Yeah.
Water, yeah. Spring of water, fountain.
Or even eye.
Yeah, and Ayn also means eye,
yeah.
The eye.
Yeah.
So when we say fountain of water, we have to put black water, black, murky, muddy water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we know that the sun does not set.
In a muddy spring,
we know that.
Yeah.
But we just put that here so that we would put it from a Zulkarnain's perspective.
Yeah.
Now, Zulkarnain is the person who has been given the power over all the land.
Yeah. Ways to everything.
No. And let's just assume that this is the classic translation.
Yeah. Okay.
He's on this land.
Yeah.
If he's on this land, because this ayah, ayah 85, it says, فَعَتْبَعُوا سَبَبًا. If we don't take the ways to going towards heavens, then we're going to have to take some ways on this planet.
Yeah.
Now, as a Pakistani, living in Islamabad, I see the sunset. I would know that the sun is not setting on my neighbor's rooftop.
Yeah.
You know?
It's full of black mud.
No, even if whatever it is, whatever it's full of. I would know if I go to the rooftop, I know, I don't have the power of the land, and I still know that whenever I see the sunset, it's not setting 7,000 yards from my eye.
Yeah.
I know the sun doesn't. I'm just from a tiny little place on the planet. Assuming that Zulkarnain was just a villager who had never crossed his village, would still know that the sun is not setting inside anything.
Yeah.
On this planet,
like we don't even need any science for this.
Yeah. It's a common sense thing. People knew it from day one. The sun is not setting. Even if they thought that the sun sets in some sea, let's just assume that, because America was not discovered at that time.
Yeah.
So some oceans were taken up, Pacific was taken up, and Atlantic was setting it in.
Yeah.
Because that's the current map without Americas.
Yeah.
Without the two Americas, Atlantic to Pacific is from Japan to Spain, Japan to Africa.
Yeah.
Okay. So since a lot of scholars put Zulkarnain right dead center in Armenia and, you know, make him travel left and right. Now, there's two things here. Hatta iza balaga maghriba shamsi wajadaha taghrubu fi aynin hamiyya. Now, it does not say maghribul It says Maghribul Shams. It does not say Maghribul Ard.
Yeah.
You have to understand that.
Yeah.
There is a totally different meaning of Maghribul Ard.
Yeah. The west of the sun.
Yeah, it says west of the sun.
Side of the sun. Yeah.
Okay, but
by the way, Dr. Ghali here says the western part of the then known world.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that, right?
Yeah.
Now, the only root word of Gharaba means the destruction, the end. That's the only word that we can take, and most of the scholars do take that. Otherwise, it is the west part of the sun. Maghrib Shams.
Yeah.
Maghrib itself.
Yeah.
When we say Rabbul Mashriq or Rabbul Maghrib.
Yeah.
In Surah Muzammil.
Yeah.
We know that Rabbul Mashriq means the Mashriq of the earth.
Yeah.
Even though I don't believe that, but people take that. All the scholars take that. Mashriq means the eastern part of the planet.
Yeah.
And Maghrib means the western part of the planet.
Yeah. But when it says Maghrib Shams.
Maghrib Shams is not spoken. We don't say Maghrib Rabbul Maghrib Shams or Rabbul Maghrib Mashriqul Shams.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just says Rabbul Mashriq or Rabbul Maghrib.
Yeah.
Here when it says Rabbul Hatta is a Balagh al Maghrib, Maghrib al Shams, that means that the word Maghrib would be taken as the destruction or the end. And a Shams would be the point where the sun is going to end. The sun is going to finish. Otherwise, if you say, no, that's the western part of the world. It doesn't say Maghrib al-Ard.
Yeah, it says Maghrib.
Why are you taking it from Japan to Spain? Yeah. That's the two ends of the then known world.
Yeah.
It should have said Hazza idha balagha al-Maghrib.
Yeah.
Then I could say, that's exactly what the Quran says.
Yeah.
Whenever it says west or east,
exactly.
It means Hatta idha balagha al-Maghrib.
Would mean like until he reached the
west. But it says Hatta is a balagha maghribu shams. It means a totally different way of looking at this.
Yeah.
Now,
by the way, there is this discussion in Tafsir Ibn Kathir on this ayah. Although Ibn Kathir has rejected this interpretation, he says that there are certain people who believe that it's a western part of the sun, some west of the sun or star. But he says that it's cannot be understood and should be rejected.
I don't remember exactly what words he said. No, but we have that IQ developed now.
Yeah.
That we can. Now that they didn't have IQ, they knew that the audience is not going to.
Yeah.
They're going to start ridiculing the Quran or something.
Yeah.
It was a very good decision they took.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let the world come to light to all means.
Yeah.
But we now know that. Let me just give you a very layman
example.
Same
can make people laugh on this now.
Yeah. Exactly. Now the ridicule is going to come if you don't evolve out of the psychology of that specific audience.
Yeah.
And go back to the psychology of the Sahaba, because Sahaba were not afraid of anything. They were just saying it because that's the message they got. They did not care.
Yeah.
They were just stating it the way they're listening it from the Prophet
ﷺ.
Now,
just like Abu Bakr.
Yeah. Exactly.
He did not have to make explanations or anything. He didn't have to come up with anything. He just said it. He said, my friend traveled, he must have traveled.
Yep. So, Maghrib al-Shams means the west of the sun or the destruction of the sun. The finishing point of the sun.
Yeah.
Now, let me just give you an example so that you understand how simple it is or how complicated it's going to become if you don't take this meaning. If a space shuttle just takes off from the planet and it goes towards the moon, can we, by any compass, attribute whether it's going east or west?
No. Just going vertical, straight up.
Yeah. So, no, but we can actually reference it from the planet setting us north. It's moving towards. It's moving towards the west.
Yeah.
That would be preposterous for us to say the shuttle is moving west. Yeah. The west that we take is on this terrestrial plane.
Yeah.
That shuttle is not moving west.
Yeah.
We just think it's moving towards our west because that's where we're standing.
Yeah.
The Quran does not speak like this.
Hmm.
So when you're in space, you cannot go east or west unless you're really aware of what the universe structure is all about. You know, you know, Rabbul Masharik or Rabbul Maghrib. Allah can say that.
Yeah.
And that's the most beautiful part about Rabbul Masharik and Rabbul Mashrikain. Yeah. Because only Allah can tell us of where the Mashrik of universe is and where the Maghrib of universe is.
Yeah.
We are too tiny in a small, tiny little planet for us to claim of what Mashrikain or Masharik would actually mean.
Yeah.
This is the biggest argument of how grandeur this ayah becomes of Rabbul Masharik.
Yeah.
Because only someone who can look at it from the way I'm looking at this, that this is the left of the cell phone, this is the right of the cell phone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Any little virus inside this cell phone, on the skin of this cell phone, would not be able to know its way around left, right. It is going to talk about that little the spot on which that virus sits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is how grand is Rabbul Masharik and Maghrib. And this is what it means by Hatta iza balaga balaga al-maghrib al-shams. That means when, as soon as he took off, he cannot go east or west. He just went to the point which is Taqarabul Shams, which means Maghrib al-shams.
Ending point of
the sun. Where the sun is going to actually set. And we know where it's going to set. You know where that is? Yeah. Every sun.
Every star.
Every sun. Yeah, we call as our sun, star as sun. So every sun sets at either its own black hole or some black hole is going to be sucked into.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the two things that happens to every sun or star.
Yeah.
So we now know where our sun is headed.
Yeah.
And we've seen that black hole.
Yeah.
So that's a very easy meaning to derive out of this, because there's another proof of that coming up right away. That he went to the, we can now even know, we know where this, we know the exact name of the black hole now, where the sun is actually running towards.
Yeah.
Now we know that. We know the trajectory of the sun.
Yeah.
And sun.
Where is it heading towards? Is it heading towards the center of the Milky Way?
From the center of the galaxy.
No, 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 there's a name.
We have a black hole in the center of Milky Way as well, right? In our galaxy.
Yeah, so, every galaxy has that.
So, is our sun heading towards that one or the one we discovered? Because the one we discovered isn't...
Oh, no, no, that's a totally different galaxy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's a totally different... Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, so that's actually the closest black hole, I think, other than our galaxy. So, the real question is, if he's going towards that, how is he breathing and how is he... Is he living and how are they? Because astronauts cannot live without a suit. Did he have a suit? Was he on horses or was he on shuttles?
Yeah.
We are too bound by our own laws of physics right now. Yeah. And that's the laws Allah is breaking in Ayah 44.
Yeah.
That Allah is saying, we gave him power on all the terrestrial planes.
Yeah.
You know, we established him a king over all the terrestrial planes. That is where this astronaut and science and air, vacuum, no vacuum, all of this is finished. Sababa means a portal through which you can travel. And inside that portal, just like Ma'arij, human beings either can travel in a matter of seconds or even if it is taking time, it is a totally different way of travel. These are gateways.
Yeah.
Which is written about for thousands and thousands of years of for different civilizations and people and known names, from Idris alayhi salam as Muslims to all those creatures that used to travel in and out of the planet and so on. We cannot go in detail here because we're going to be coming up with a lot of detail. So, Zulkarnain took off from this planet. By the way, one thing we missed out on, Zulkarnain means two horns.
Yeah.
And when you look at that wormhole that opens in the space, it's like a tornado.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even though a tornado has a ceiling. So when we look at a little spiral going up, it looks like that the big wide opening is too big.
Yeah.
And it tapers down into a little point.
Yeah.
It becomes a horn.
Horn. Yeah.
So it can easily mean that those people could see all of those ways that, or that he uses. And there are two ways that those two horns are the reason why it's called Zulkarnain.
So why would they only see two horns?
Maybe they just this the two times he used it. Maybe I don't know. I'm just saying that it's very easy for us, after we know that he travels like this, to understand that, you know, people used to see that as well. People could see those when he used to open that path. People could see that, you know, different shapes or all of the army walking towards that path and going in and disappearing. It is so easy if you read.
Some have mentioned in the tafsir that he used to wear the helmet with the two horns.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that.
Or
that
probably Zulkarnain was of a species who had real horns.
Could be, or could be he had those two pathways that you know people used to know him for. And you know he could be an angel for all you know. We don't know that he's not an angel.
Yeah,
he could be the king of angels because Umar ibn Khattab said
one of the Sahabi. Yeah,
yeah, Umar ibn Khattab. There's a child born in Arab at the time of Umar ibn Khattab, and somebody named him Zulkarnain. And Umar ibn Khattab says that did we run out of human names that you picked out the name of an angel?
Yeah.
Why do you think he called him an angel? Because Sahaba knew that, you know, Sababa was the meaning he was traveling around the heavens.
And this traveling could be done only by angels.
Could be. No, but
like Islam most famously.
It could even be a jinn in that perspective if you are talking about horns particularly.
Could be, but the point is that actually further signifies or strengthens the word Sababa.
Sababa,
It strengthens.
Yeah.
But even if you put him as human beings, all of those people who were following Zulkarnain, then still it does not weaken this word Sababa at any level. So Hatta Iza Balaga Maghriba Shamsa Wajadaha Taghrabu. Taghrabu fi Ainin Hamiya. That means that when he went close to that Ainin Hamiya, that eye-shaped black mud.
Yeah.
Because we're really stretching it out here when you're pulling the sun down in a murky water, black water on this planet.
Yeah.
Now, I do believe that every star sets in a black mud. I believe that. We've seen that.
Yeah.
So, why do we have to put water? And I also believe that there could be water there.
Yeah,
because the hadith is all over the universe. There's so much water. The arsh of Allah is on water. Between heaven is water. We know that
all the planets and stars are floating on water.
On water. Yeah. And since water is between the two heavens, and the only pathway between those two heavens is a black hole, so that means water could be in black hole. Ainun Hamiya, even if it uses a spring of water, it could still be there.
Still be the black hole. Yeah.
So
by the way, the recent photograph of the black hole. Even that looks like a very, very like an ayn, like an.
It is an eye. That's why that the current black hole is ayn in hamiya, black mud black. With eye shaped.
Yeah.
Black mud. Ayn in hamiya.
Yeah.
Why black mud? Black mud is the actual meaning of the word in Surah Hijr. If you use Surah Hijr in Adam's creation, ham.
Yeah.
Hamin.
Yeah.
Hamin means the word, the black mud through which Adam al-Islam is created, and that black mud is. Why do you think they're using black murky water? Because hamiya. Means black mud.
Black
mud. So now, let's just assume all of this is wrong. And everything about the fact is true that sun actually sets on this planet in a black mud. Then we really are in a lot of pickle because then we got a problem with those satellites revolving around the planet. And a lot more is going to go wrong. A lot more. Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because I want the sun to set on this planet. I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those Muslims who wants the most strange things to happen and coming out from the Quran so that only the believers will believe in the Quran.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those guys. I really hate it when science says, oh, yeah, we found something that the Quran is like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? I want it to be so extraordinary that only the believers will come near this book.
Subhanallah.
You know, the more science is going to try and come closer to the Quran, the lesser our iman is going to be on the Quran.
Yeah,
you know
it's why? Getting easier to believe.
Yeah. No, that's the word. It's not belief then. Logic and belief is not the same thing.
Yeah.
Belief is when the logic is against it. Or there's no logic around it. There's no logic.
Mm-hmm.
Or against logic.
Yeah.
The belief in faith is the antonym of logic and rationale. You have to understand that. When the Prophet ﷺ had all the prophets, which are prophets, Siddiq, Nabi, when they took their belief to such a level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know what? Now you've done whatever no human beings could do. So I'm going to give you something which is a gift, which is Ain al-Yaqeen.
Yeah.
You know, so he showed him the bigger signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He showed his bigger signs to those prophets who rose their belief or built it to a level where, you know, we better be on that track. Yeah. Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them things which no science could possibly explain. And, you know, like Sidratul Muntaha and the Nile and the Firat flowing through the bottom and the seven heavens and the rock and angels and whatnot.
Yeah.
After the belief was at its maximum peak a human beings can have.
Yeah.
So it's something which I want the sun to set on the planet, but the sababa word is not letting me. Science and satellite, I don't care. The word sababa is not letting me believe that the sun is setting on this planet.
Yeah.
Because he did go up to the heavens, to the point where Maghrib al-Shams is, close to it, in Daha, not inside the black hole. It says,
wa wajada,
he found him in Daha. In Daha means close to that.
He found a
planet
wow.
where their people are living. And I think we covered Ain and Hamiya enough. Black hole is the black mud. Everyone in science calls it black hole. No, could not be. Because Hamiya means black. That's it. Black mud.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the problem is the current version of the translation is that the sun sets in the black water.
Yeah.
And since Zulkarnain just was at a seashore somewhere by the end of his journey, so he just saw it going into water.
Yeah.
Now, assuming that he was on the bank of some sea.
Yeah.
If you stand on the seashore,
yeah,
that's a lot of distance between the sunset and you.
Yeah.
So you cannot be calling it, oh, I saw you guys close to the sunset. No, no.
Yeah.
You saw it close to the seashore.
To the shore.
The sunset was miles and miles and miles away.
Yeah.
There is no planet, place on the planet where we can say, hey, we met on the place where the sun is setting. No human being can say that.
Yeah.
We can meet at sunset, which is the time of the sunset, but not on the sunset.
Yeah.
Or in the sunset. So that's a totally different phrase. It's a wrong phrase to use here. Now, well, Allah, of course. So the real question is, he's found the sun setting in the black murky water, and some people have gone to such an extent calling it the Black Sea. The Black Sea. Black Sea or the Red Sea is not red or black. The blue water. Bahrul Ahmar is not red, it's blue.
I think these ones are probably from Indo-Pak.
The Red Sea?
Those who call the Red Sea.
Arabs probably won't do this. I don't think Arabs would call it that he was setting in the Black Sea. That's the difference of the inferior psychology of the Urdu speakers like us. So, the Black Sea is not a black reservoir of water.
Yeah.
The sun did not set in the Black Sea, or even if it did, that's not why it's called the Black Sea. Okay? And the Black Sea is called Black Sea by the Europeans.
Yeah.
You have to understand that. That's a localized name there.
Yeah.
And the Red Sea, or the only real name of the seas that we've given to the seas is the Dead Sea. Which has a rational word, Dead Sea, because the salt content is so much that there is no life in that.
Yeah.
So the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea, but the Red Sea is a blue sea and the Black Sea is a blue sea.
Blue Sea, yeah.
So that's not black water. And I know, of course, now everybody knows. There's so many scholars who keep yelling it out that it was the Black Sea. Look, the black water. That's not murky. That water is not murky. Black Sea is a regular sea.
Yeah.
That's not muddy. That's not murky. And there is no sun setting in the Black Sea.
Mm.
And if Zulkarnain had all the power on all the planet, he should have known that the Black Sea has a totally different edge. And the sun is still going on. Yeah. There's no sun setting inside the Black Sea.
Yeah.
So, again, most, at best, what the scholars have done is that they've given it a metaphorical meaning that, you know, it was, you know, it's a figure of speech.
Yeah.
He just saw the sun setting close to, and
yeah.
One commentary I was reading that when the sun is setting in water, see, it looks like it is murky and black.
Yeah.
What kind of sunset have they been watching?
No. It does look like that.
Where?
There are certain paintings like that. There's a time where it's like very close to the point where the sea is touching the horizon. At that point, there comes a time when it looks like muddy or even black. There's a spot that comes right in front of the sun.
That's the farthest place from the sea then, from the seashore.
I mean, whatever it is, but that's how it looks. Well, so there is a possibility that it does.
Okay, I believe you. Yeah. I want to believe you.
Yeah. No. What I'm trying to say is that
that's where the phrase came from. At
that time tried their best to give an interpretation that made sense to them and the people of their time.
I want to believe you, but I doubt if that's what they were trying to do.
So they were trying to fool us?
No, they actually believed it.
They actually believed it?
That yes, that part of the thing is black and that's where the sun sets.
No. When you read Tafasir, they don't fix it to a certain meaning. They always say, this guy says this, some of us say this,
well,
those.
I'll tell you why I disregard those. Because Sahabas didn't believe that.
Hmm.
And that's the only way to understand what the Quran is.
Hmm. So what understanding of a Sahabi do we have about this?
The Sahabi says that Zulkarnain tied his horse to the star.
That's fine. About Ayn Hamir.
That's what you think he was talking about. He said that Ka'b al-Ahbar says that Zulkarnain went up to the star.
Yeah.
And that's where he was.
He even named the star. Suraya.
Yeah. Suraya, yeah.
Yeah. That's probably Sirius, I think.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, it's not that matter what, whether it's weak or strong. What matters is it is from 1400 years ago. But was he 1400 years ago?
Yeah.
So that's all we need to know, that the psychology.
Why did he come up with this wrong hadith? He could have said anything else.
Yeah, he didn't read Hawkins or Einstein or Newton. He just came up with this theory, really? And even it did come up with this theory that puts us right into the context that he, you know what Ka'b al-Ahbar is known for? That he was so inspired by the Israeliyat, the Judaic philosophies.
Yeah.
Now listen to this very carefully. Ka'b al-Ahbar is a very important name for me. You know why? Because he's my doorway into what Jews are up to in terms of what their philosophy is, not what their plans are. And those very Jews with that very Israeliyat come to the Prophet ﷺ and says, recite to us Zulkarnain. So Ka'b al-Ahbar comes to life here.
Yeah.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they want to know Zulkarnain? I'll tell you. Otherwise, if it were not such an important thing, Allah was like, they're just coming up with some, you know, anecdotes and tantrums.
Yeah.
Tell them, you know, assalamu alaikum.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
But this
is such an important thing that it comes into Surah Kaf and the Dajjal, and the Dajjal connected to Jews connected to Israeliyat connected to Ka'b al-Ahbar, the trail is perfect.
Yeah, and by the way, even if Ka'b bin Ahbar is like not trusted in the narration of the hadith, but if you read the character or the behavior of Ka'b bin Ahbar regarding these kind of ayat, that's really amazing. He was so excited every time these kind of ayat were read to him. Yeah. He would be very excited, you know, and he would say, yes, it makes sense because I heard something like this, or there was something like this in Israeliyat or some things like that. So it means he had a very vision that was too broad for that time.
Or he had a psychology which was a
not limited
Judaic
to
psychology. Thing, yeah. Psychology. And that Judaic psychology gave us Surah Kahf, by the way. If they had not asked this question, we would not have Surah Kahf. So that psychology is well respected in the court of Allah. Hmm. He answered a question of people.
Or maybe that's the reason he was not trusted, because he was talking something that was not actually comprehended by the...
No. I'll tell you why he was not trusted. It's very clearly written that he was too inspired by Israeliyat.
Yeah.
And that's the only case against him.
Because he was a Jewish scholar. He was a scholar in Jewish tradition.
So that's why I treat him as a gateway towards Surah Kaf. Because he's the one whose psychology we can reverse engineer into why Jews were kept on asking Muzul Kanair from the Prophet.
Yeah.
It's such a perfect trail.
Yeah.
So, Hatta iza balaga maghriba shamsi wajadaha taghribu fi ainin hamiya wa wajada indaha qawman kulna ya Zul Karnain. They said, O Zul Karnain,
yeah.
We, what translation did you have?
It says, where he found some people, we said, O Zul Karnain, either punish them or treat them kindly.
Yeah, because there's no detail of any kind. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about a nation which he didn't give us any detail of? There's a big.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has skipped the word Ard. He could have used it for us, but there is no mention of Ard over there. Just close to the Ayn Hamiya.
Yeah. Or Turab or anything.
Or Dunya.
Yeah. So the real sensical thing to look at this ayah, to the angle, to look at this grand ayah is that Allah is talking about a nation, and he just hints it as if this nation is not important enough. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? Because the point of this ayah is not those people. The point of this ayah is where those people are. That's why they're mentioned.
Yeah. That there are people, there is a creation near, besides.
Yeah.
Ayn in Hamiya.
Yeah, that's it. Because look at what this ayah, these people are talking about. What did the people? What happened to these people?
He responded, "Whoever does wrong will be punished by us. Then will be returned to their Lord, who will punish them with a horrible torment."
That's a general rule.
Yeah.
So this is not the point of these two ayah. The point of these two ayah, wallahu alam, of course, is the placement of these people and the trajectory of Zul Karnain.
Yeah.
So that's the best part about this ayah. Let's just go on further.
Okay, so just to summarize from the point where the story of Zul Karnain started. So he was asked about the question. He said, let me tell you something about Zul Karnain. Zul Karnain was given a pathway towards everything. And then it says, Fatbaw Sababa. So then he followed a path which could lead to another world or dimension or another sky. And there, then he reaches a point on the western side of the sun, which says, or the point of the destruction of the sun, or the ending point of the sun, which is towards the Ayn in Hamiya, a black hole. And near the black hole, beside the black hole, he meets these people. And then this is the conversation which takes place between those guys. And he says to them, whoever does wrong will be punished by us, then will be returned to their Lord, who will punish them with a horrible torment. Okay, ayah number 88 now. As for those who will believe and do good, they will have the finest reward, and we will again assign them easy commands. Dr. Ghadi says, then he will have as a recompense the fairest reward, and we soon will say to him, off our command, cease. Okay, that's very confusing. Amrina yusra. Yeah, amr means the command, and yusra good, is easy. Good. Okay.
Yeah, so see, that's something which is pointing towards
So there's not enough detail about these people.
Absolutely no detail. Yeah. That's the point of these ayah, that we're not giving you detail of what actually was going on with those people, and or what happened to those people.
Yeah,
we don't know what happened to those people.
Yeah,
but because it's a general rule, Zul Karnain says people who are doing good will be rewarded by good. People who are actually aggressors will be that's the rule. We all know that. So the real beauty of these three ayahs, the Ayn in Hamiya and Maghribu Shams.
Okay. From here he takes another portal. Ayah number 89, he says, Thumma atba'a sababa. So then he traveled a different course.
Now he's on the
another pathway.
Yeah, he's on the same pathway in a different direction, because he's going to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell us where he's going, because he's still in the Sababa at this time.
Okay.
Hatta idha balagha matla'a ash-shams.
Ayah number 90, until he reached the rising point of the sun. He found it rising on a people for whom we had provided no shelter from it. From the sun means. You want to make a point?
Yes, yes, because I have a different translation here.
Dr. Ghali says, until when he reached the rising of the sun, he found it rising upon a people for whom we had not made a screen therefrom.
Yeah. Now, let's just talk about this. This is going to be taking a long... Can we cover this in this episode, this deep to ayah?
I think...
we covered this journey till we hit the Yajuj Majuj.
Okay.
Okay, because the Gan is going to really open up.
Yeah.
So let's just cover this first nation.
Yeah. Okay, inshallah.
Hatta idha balagha matla' ash-shams. Now, on the planet Earth, there is a protection from the sun. Mm. Now, even if there isn't, let's assume the hottest place on the planet,
sure,
or place where there is some sort of a breakup of some sort of mesosphere or ozone or whatever layer which protects us from the sun.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to get out of their place, yeah, or to do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if we take the Maghrib al-Shams meaning, we'll have to take the Matla al-Shams meaning here as well. That when the star is taking birth, when the star is being born. And by the way, we missed out on the Maghrib al-Shams in Surah Yasin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us.
Yeah.
That every star is moving towards its destination.
Its destination, yeah.
And that's something which we can easily corroborate here.
Yeah.
Mustaqarrilla. Shamsu wa tajri mustaqarrillaha. And we know the Quran itself is saying that, you know, they're moving toward their final part of the destination, the journey, the death.
Which is definitely cannot be explained by their rotation, you know.
Oh, yeah. It has to be a linear journey.
Yeah.
So, hatta balagha matla ishams means then he went to the place which was close to the nebula or wherever the sun is going to be born.
Yeah.
And when the sun is born or when a star is being born, naturally the place which, that's one of the meanings,
And there are millions of nebulas.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
The sun has come from one of the
one
nebulas.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So the one meaning that is very clear here, one of the meanings, there are two meanings which are totally clear. And the third meaning, which is not clear, we'll also talk about that. The first meaning is when the star takes birth, it is at its such a certain level of whatever radioactivity is going, that there is no planet around it which can actually cover through any ozone that it has to stop that radiation.
Mm.
And that's what the people are saying. We are not getting any protection from this thing, that this star that we have.
Hmm.
Do something about it. Because at this time, this is a place which is close to the birthplace of the sun.
Okay.
And when the star takes birth, science till date does not know what kind of emission is coming out of there.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to a certain point in its own lifetime, that's what we see our sun doing. From hydrogen to helium and, you know, converting ferrous into ferric.
Yeah.
So at that time, the plasma, maybe they're so close and the plasma is all over the place.
Yeah.
Or maybe the heat is too much.
Mm.
Or maybe the light is too much. Mm. Because light is too much means that planet is not rotating around its own axis. Mm. Or, because I don't take that meaning because then they can travel to the other part of the planet.
Yeah.
So, but you know, if you know, it's not so easy for people to just take off and just, that's not,
you know, I think
it took us thousands and thousands of years to go to the other side of the planet. Yeah. We all should know that.
I think you should talk more about why it's not the people on this earth.
Yeah, but I was going to save it for the last, but okay.
Okay,
let's just talk about that.
The first thing is, like, if there's a place like this, as you said, on earth where there's no cover from the sun and it's impossible for the inhabitants of that area to survive in that place, they can always migrate. And mass migrations have been happening
about it throughout the centuries. Because he says there were no ceilings or roofs of the of those people. They had walls.
Yeah.
They had walls.
Yeah.
But no roofs.
No roofs, yeah. That's what Ibn Kathir says.
Yeah. Okay. That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But why can't they just go behind the walls?
Yeah.
Or they knew what the wall structure is. They just did not have the sense to, you know, put horizontal, you know, ceilings on top. It's okay. It could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. The question is, get out of there.
Yeah.
What did Zulkarnain do? Teach them how to put a ceiling on top of four walls?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't sound like a king to me here.
Yeah.
You know, but let's just assume that it was. Hmm. But that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that these people on this planet, we're just keeping these people on the planet. These people were in a place where there was absolutely no cover from the radiation of the sun.
Yeah.
Okay.
No so, sky.
Yeah. It has to.
No atmosphere. Yeah.
No. That's not this planet, because this planet, how come those people are breathing if they don't
have atmosphere? That's the point he's making, that since there's no place like this,
yeah,
now we have to go out of the Earth.
There has no atmosphere because, you know, people were, because if you're putting these people on this planet, we have to put all three people on the planet, because there are three people here.
Yeah.
The one that he just met, the one he's going to meet.
Yeah.
This is the second people that he just met.
Older Mufassirun had put all these nations on Earth, by the way.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
So how come these people in the middle, all of a sudden,
on the same Earth, were still in a place
where there's no atmosphere?
Yeah.
Or let's just assume that there's no atmosphere.
While
that becomes even more fun, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Then Zulkarnain went up and put some atmosphere there.
Yeah.
Still has to go up.
Yeah.
To do whatever he could.
Yeah.
To put some atmosphere.
But we know that a few hours back, there were still some people who didn't have an atmospheric problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were
living there.
Yeah. And the next people will also have atmosphere.
Yeah.
This is east.
Yeah.
So there was no atmosphere in the east.
In the west.
This is east. Yeah, according to them, east. This is the east. Yeah. Matlab Shams.
Yeah.
So the real question is that even if they did not have any protection from the sun, what did he do? Yeah. What did he do? We do not have anything which says anything about what Zulkarnain did.
Yeah. Subhanallah. Because in next ayah it says, so it was, and we truly had full knowledge of him.
Yeah. So the question is, what kind of problem can human beings have, human beings on this planet, where they will say, we do not have any protection from sun? So we know that These are the, I mean, there are so many narrations in the hadith about this, since they've been known as weak, so I'm not going to go there. But it's a problem we better solve here, because we're talking about Zulkarnain and the Dajjal here in Surah Kaf. You can't just, you know, leave it for later, because later the Dajjal is coming. So there's not going to be the better time to discover the meaning than this. So understand, if we put Sababa in the heavens, it makes perfect sense that there's a planet where the sun was too close.
Hmm. Sababa means a portal that led to the black hole where the sun was setting, and another direction
towards the nebula where the sun was coming up, and then there were many planets there, and he saw people, and then
We know that already through the Quran, there is a possibility of many planets.
Oh, yes. And people.
Yeah.
Through the hadith creatures. In the Quran, there are different people.
Yeah. In the Quran also, there is a mention of many creatures.
Yeah.
Many creations.
Yeah. That's the question we didn't cover. The aliens.
Spread them between.
We never covered different living beings in different, because we should have covered that in the context. But I mean, this is a general consensus.
And the word used in that particular ayah is Daba.
Daba. Yeah.
That is a living thing.
Yeah.
Aqil. Flesh and blood thing.
Yeah.
Intelligence. It's not a spiritual being.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the word minhum means aqil.
Minhum means, yeah.
That means with brains.
Yeah.
So, minhum doesn't mean with brains. Mm. The fact that the pronoun hum is used, which means that these were
By the way, there's also this, at another point, Quran says that we have made you better among a lot of creation, right?
Surah Bani Israel, ayat 70.
Yeah.
Surah Bani Israel, ayat 70 says that we've given you, we've made you better than most of what we have created.
Most
of the creations. That means not all of them.
Not all of them, yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking directly to Bani Adam at that time. So we should know that the Quran is pointing right towards all of these concepts, and we better get our heads around that. So he went to a place where there is no atmosphere, or maybe the star is too close.
Yeah.
And whatever he did with them, maybe he spun their planet out. Maybe, I don't know, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be, because this guy has some serious power.
Yeah.
Now he could have put the whole planet into a totally different spin.
In a habitable zone.
Yeah. In the Goldilocks zone.
Yeah.
Or could be anything.
Yeah.
So, this is something which is one of the most interesting parts, because, the next people will not have any other problem which are celestial level. They will be having a problem with Yajud Majud. So let's just, keep it till here.
Yeah.
Because, it says Summa Ataba Usababa again. That's the last of his journeys. And then that's where the real peak of the Surah Kahf comes into place, because that's the connection between Zulkarnain and Yajud Majud. And then Yajud Majud is connected to the time of Isa al-Islam. Isa al-Islam is connected to, the Jal. And that's why we know that when Yajud Majud is going to come, they're going to use these sort of sababas or portals or pathways, which Zulkarnain is about to close in the next few ayahs. So stay tuned. Inshallah, we'll cover that. And in the next episode, in the most exciting thing.
Till this point, we have covered till ayah number 91.
Yeah.
Inshallah, from next, in our next session, we'll be starting from ayah number 92.